bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
Well, last week I preached on the call to leadership and emphasized that we are called into leadership, and we talked about the calling that Jesus gave to his disciples to become leaders. Today I'm doing part two of that message, the call to leadership, and we are going to expand our understanding of what it means to be called into leadership. Usually, leaders emerge at a time when people have come to the end of themselves, when people are looking for something more than what they have, something beyond what they have, and they don't know what to do. Somebody emerges, somebody steps out, and that person becomes a leader. Leaders emerge in various places. They emerge in families, they emerge in communities, in companies, in institutions, in churches, and also in nations, all of them in response to a need. Great leaders in the Bible, such as Noah, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, Esther, Nehemiah, Daniel, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, all of them emerged to meet a need. And each one of us have a call of leadership on our lives. Each one of us, there is a need that God has brought us into this world to meet. And at various points in our lives, there will be something compelling that will drive us to rise up and do something significant for God. Last week, we looked at the fact that we are called in leadership to partake, to partner, and to perform. Today, we're going to look at one of the most classic accounts of a person called into leadership, the call of Jeremiah. And we're going to look at that in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 to 12. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 12. Jeremiah was a young man when he received this summons, this call to be a leader. And we read these words. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, 'Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth.' But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord.' Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set this day, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Jeremiah, what do you see?' And I said, 'I see a branch of an almond tree.' Then the Lord said to me, 'You have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word.'" This is how Jeremiah was called into leadership. And this was a time of great crisis in Israel. The nation is turned its back on God, and things are going very, very badly for the nation. And in the midst of that chaotic situation where everything is going badly, God raises Jeremiah. Now, when you hear his name, Jeremiah, you have the impression of a very old man with a long white beard talking to God. But Jeremiah was a very young man at this time. As you can tell, he's protesting because of his youth. Jeremiah was in his late teens to early 20s. He was just a young person whom God picked on and wanted to use him. And that's interesting about God, that he doesn't wait for you to be an old man before he can use you. He can use you even in your youth. And I believe that in this auditorium, there are many Jeremiahs whom God wants to raise up. You may not lead a nation, but you may lead a company, or you may lead, be a leader in your family, a light in your family. But God wants you to step up into leadership. And a few things we want to learn from this interaction between God and Jeremiah. And I'm going to talk about three important tasks of every leader, and then I will talk about three phases of leadership. Every leader has to master three important tasks. The first one is vision. Vision. Vision means to be able to see clearly, to see things clearly. And when we talk about vision, we're not just talking about physical eyes seeing, but we're talking about your mental eyes, the mind of your eye, being able to see things clearly. Leaders are seers. Leaders are seers. In verse 11, God asked Jeremiah, "What do you see?" What do you see? It's a very important question. What do you see? When God raises us as leaders, this is one of the important things we must clarify. What do you see? How do you see it? Leaders see things differently from followers. Leaders see what is ahead, beyond what is in front of them. They see beyond it. Followers only see what is in front of them. In a simple analogy, if you had people walking in a line, let's say we're walking the line and I'm leading in front, and there are people behind me, the people behind me see the back of my head. But I don't see the back of anybody's head. I see what is ahead of me and what is beyond me. And that illustrates the way leaders and followers see. Leaders see what is beyond them. Followers only see what is in front of them. And they allow what they see in front of them to stop their progression and stop them from doing great things. In the Bible, we see the story of David and Goliath. David is a young man. He comes to the battlefront, and he hears Goliath threatening the whole army of Israel. Now, all the nation see Goliath as a full stop. He's the stumbling block. But David sees through Goliath and sees opportunity. So the way David sees the problem is different from the way the rest of the nation sees the problem. Leaders have a vision that sees through problems. Followers have a vision that only sees the problem and nothing beyond the problem. If you're going to be a great leader, you have to learn to cultivate a vision that sees through the problem. For everything that stands in front of you, there has to be something beyond it. For every stumbling block, there has to be a stepping stone. And leaders see through the vision. So they see it. Secondly, leadership must master communication. Is the ability to say things confidently. Leaders are speakers. Number one, leaders are seers. Number two, leaders are speakers. Leaders move people with words. In verse 9, the Bible says, God touched the mouth of Jeremiah and put his words in his mouth. Not only did Jeremiah see, but God gave him communication skills. A leader may not be the most eloquent person, But the communication ability of the leader is in his confidence. Confidence. When people have nowhere to go, the voice of confidence is the one everybody follows. If you happen to be lost in the bush somewhere, nobody knows what to do, the one who comes to say, "Let's go." And he may not know where he's going, but if he speaks confidently, everybody will follow him. I have seen people follow people who don't know where they are going. But because they have a confidence about them and they speak very confidently. Leaders have a way of communicating very confidently. Now, if they have vision and they have communication, then they've solved two very important tasks of a leader. The ability to see through the problem and communicate in such a way that people feel confident and follow them. David was a young man when he saw Goliath. He saw the problem differently and he spoke about it so confidently that the whole nation put their trust in a 17-year-old boy. The king gave him his armor because he spoke confidently. At this time, he had done nothing. There is no second opinion about what David says he's done. But his confidence was infectious because he saw the problem differently. If you're going to rise into leadership, you have to master your vision skills, your communication skills, and the third one, results. Results. Leadership or leaders solve the problem. They provide solution. In verse 10, God told Jeremiah to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Everyone who is called as a leader must develop the ability to look through problems, to speak confidently, and also to deliver results. Now, the first two are easy. You can have vision, and you may be able to communicate, but if you don't produce results, pretty soon everybody will call you a fake. They will call you promise and fail. You talk big, but you don't deliver. So, yes, it's good to have vision. It's good to communicate well, but you have to deliver results. It's when David delivered results and defeated Goliath that the people sang his praise and said, "Saul has killed his thousands, David has killed his 10,000. Because at that time, vision, communication has produced results. So there are three important skills that each one of us who wants to be a leader must master. We must see it, we must say it, we must solve it. Let's say it together. Say, see it, say it, solve it. One more time. So if I'm going to be a leader, I have to see it. So this year, each one of us must see it, say it, and solve it. Let's go through. Say, I will see it, I will say it, I will solve it. If you can do these three, you'll be a great leader. The whole world will clap for you. Because you can see the problem well, you don't see stumbling blocks, you see through the problems. You can communicate it well, you can say it well so that people will be inspired to follow you. And you don't have to go and learn poetry or big words, you know, because in Ghana, normally when we say that somebody knows how to speak, it means the person has learned big words. You know, and sometimes people speak so much big words, nobody knows what they are saying. So when I talk about communication, I don't mean go and memorize some phrases and some big words from the dictionary to mesmerize people. I'm just saying that speak confidently. And sometimes confident speaking is very simple. Very simple. It's not complicated, but it's spoken in such a way that everybody knows you know what you are talking about. So see it, say it, solve it. These are three important skills. They seem like very simple, but there are many people in leadership positions who don't have these skills. They have position, but they have no vision, they have no communication, they don't deliver results. Sometimes you can see leaders over companies who have no vision, no communication skills, no results, but they know people in high places, so they're still keeping their position. Sometimes you can see people over nations, over churches, over institutions who don't have any clear vision of where they're going, who cannot communicate any vision, and who don't deliver any results, but somehow they are powerful. You know, it's very amazing what we call powerful. But in God's scheme, Jeremiah had to see it well, he had to say it well, and he had to solve it. He had to go and deliver results. Now, I will take time during the year to teach a little bit about these three important things and break them up, each one as a segment on its own. But just to let you know that if you want to master leadership, these are the three important things you have to master. There will be other things to master, but these are very, very important. Vision, communication, and delivering results, execution, getting things done. For everyone called into leadership, when God calls you, or when a call for leadership comes to you, there will be three main faces of that calling. Three main faces. Now, these faces can happen sequentially. That means one comes after the other. Or sometimes it can happen cyclically, so that they are all jumbled together, sometimes happening together at the same time. But most times they happen sequentially. Three important phases of the calling, and we are looking at all of that in the life of Jeremiah. The first phase is what I call the mystery of our calling. The mystery of our calling. That means that there is something about God calling you that is mysterious. You can't figure it out. There are things about what God wants to do with our lives that are not clear to us. And as a person who has studied leadership over many years, I've come to realize that sometimes the most obvious choice is not the right choice. Sometimes the person everybody says will make it doesn't make it. If you go to a classroom of 30, 20 children in class one, and you are to predict the next 30 years how their lives would be, who would be the most successful, you'll probably pick the wrong choice. 30 years from now, you may realize that the one that nobody saw becomes the one that emerges a leader. And the one that everybody thought would be a leader doesn't get anywhere. You know, one of the things I've noticed in life is that people who start, you know, in life very early, very active, seeming like they are very gifted, most of the time, life becomes a struggle for them. I've seen that. You know, maybe a little kid, and everybody calls you, oh, little boy preacher, little boy preacher, little, and then he doesn't become any little, you know, doesn't become any preacher. He grows up and his whole life is messed up. And the reason is because when people think they have figured you out, they don't allow you to grow into your own. And most of the things that people start doing when they are young are not the things they do in adulthood. So it's very important how you measure success when you look at children. People may give an indication of their future gift, but don't box people into what they are doing well as an infant, because it may change as they grow along. The mystery of our call. God says to Jeremiah, before you were conceived, I knew you. The mystery of our calling has to do with what God sees in us. What God sees in us. It talks about his purpose and destiny. When God looks at us, what does he see? God saw Jeremiah before he was conceived. He knew him before he was born. He saw purpose in Jeremiah. Jeremiah didn't know that. Jeremiah's parents didn't know that. God says that I ordained you a prophet before you were born. That's a mystery. So Jeremiah is born, and everybody sees him, oh, baby Jeremiah, but God saw him as a prophet. But that calling was a mystery. He didn't fully know it. And for each one of us, there is the mystery of our calling. There are things that God sees about you that you don't see about yourself. There is destiny, there is purpose, there is leadership. Sitting here in this auditorium is mystery. I look at your faces, you look like nice church members. The person you're sitting next to you says, oh, that's a nice brother, that's a nice sister I meet in church. That's all they know. But there is an aspect about you that you don't know, that nobody knows, only God knows. That is the mystery aspect. And the next 10 years, nobody knows what you're going to become. Next 5 years, nobody knows what you're going to become. For all you know, the next 5 years, you're going to be the most profound person in the world. But it's a mystery. I don't know. But the fact that I don't know doesn't mean God hasn't thought about it. So I'm here just to tell somebody, what you see now is not the end of what God sees. He says to Jeremiah, there's a mystery to your calling. There's a mystery to your calling. Nobody thought I would be a great preacher. And I don't think so. In fact, as a matter of principle, when somebody meets me and says, oh, I knew you when you were young, as a matter of principle, I know they are wrong. As a matter of principle. I'm not saying they are wrong, but as a matter of principle, because nobody knew me when I was young. I was faceless. I was the kind of person who would pass you by and you wouldn't even think a human being passed by because I was faceless. No talent, nothing extraordinary, didn't stand out. Just there. When I was in secondary school, I sat in the same class for 3 years with a teacher. And when after the third year, he said, who are you? I said, I'm Otabe. So when did you start this class? I said, sir, I've been here from Form 1. Faceless. Now, I'm sure if you came to that class and said, oh, who do you think will be a public speaker, be able to preach and speak confidently when they grow up? Nobody will say, Otabe. He's always hiding, doesn't want to show up, doesn't ask questions in class. It's a mystery. It's the mystery of your calling. When God sees something huge about you, nobody sees it. Somehow God covers you and reveals you later. For each one of us, there is a mystery. Somebody say, I'm a mystery. Oh, say to the person next to you, you don't know me yet. I'm a mystery. It's a mystery of my calling. I don't even know myself. I didn't know I would be doing this. If you had told me I would be doing this, I would have said, no, I wouldn't do that. It's the mystery of our calling. What God sees about us is deeper than what we see. What God has prepared us for, His gifts, His grace, is a mystery. There are gifts sitting inside of you now that you don't even know you have. He has poured uncommon gifts, uncommon grace over your life that you don't even know you have. You think you know yourself very well. There are aspects of you that are yet to be released. God has a mystery of our calling. Not everything about us is revealed at this moment. And He's prepared us, given us gifts and grace, divine enablement, that we don't know yet. The mystery of our calling has to do with our assignment, what God wants to do with us, His unique assignment. What does God want to do with your life? What does God want to do with my life? Yeah, I know a few things, but I don't know everything. You know a few things, but you don't know everything. You don't know everything about your assignment. Your gifts, your placement, the opportunities, You don't know. Moses spent 40 years of his life. And everybody, if you ask, who is Moses? They will say, oh, that's Pharaoh's grandson. He's a great eloquent speaker. He's of the royal house. They thought after 40 years, they could predict him, but they had no idea what he was going to come into. Another 4 years, if you ask anybody who knew Moses, what's Moses? Oh, he's a shepherd. He works for his father-in-law. Does he have any future? Well, he doesn't look like it. He's just married and he couldn't even get a house for his wife. He's now staying in his father-in-law's house with his wife. Does Moses have a future? 80 years, we don't even know what his life is about. But the next 40 years, the mystery of his call manifests. And everybody said, we didn't know he was a deliverer. We didn't know he was going to do that. But there it is unraveling. I don't know about you, but I'm here to tell somebody, you have no idea what you are about to step into. You have no idea what you are about to step into. There is a mystery of your calling. You don't know it all. You don't have it all. You don't understand everything. The mystery of the calling. Before you were born, God says, I knew.
Thank you for listening to Live and Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Otebe, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Otebe. Email otebe@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.